Blog Talk Radio.
Without answered love, I say goodbye. You is mine, it's not the beauty. So yeah, your heart cry. It's passing by this moment. Your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord. I say goodbye. Reach out, answer the Lord. I say goodbye. You will find it's not so beautiful. So yeah, your heart cries. It's passing by this moment. Your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord. I say goodbye. Reach out and touch the Lord. I say goodbye. You will find it's not too beauty. So yeah, your heart cries. It's passing by this moment. Your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord. I see goodbye. Yes, Lord. We touch you tonight with the feelings of our infirmity. You are our high priest, O God. You are our high priest in the New Testament. You are the high priest that we can touch with the feelings of our infirmity. We touch you, Jesus. Everyone that has come into this service tonight, Lord Jesus, we touch you with your needs, with your problems, with your trouble, with your issues. Jesus, we touch you with the burdens and the battles and the fears and the anxieties of our lives. We touch you, Lord Jesus. Yes, you are our high priest, O God. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us through your word now. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Yes, everyone is welcome to the Hour of Miracles radio and TV ministry of the Jesus Christ Global Mission, reaching you all the way from Langham, Maryland, USA. This is the Archbishop Stephen John Bucoro coming your way with the living word of God that saves, heals, delivers, and blesses. Tonight we're going to be talking about Jesus Christ as our high priest in the New Testament. And our text is taken from Hebrews chapter 4, from verse 15 to 16. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4, from verse 14. If you want to pick it from there, that would be better. Hebrews chapter 4, from verse 14. Yes. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. But we think, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In the Old Testament, the high priest was very far away from the people. And the first high priest in the Old Testament was Aaron. And Aaron even misled the people to worship idols after Moses had gone on Mount Sinai to go and receive the laws. That's how weak human beings are. See? That was why Jesus had to come. Human beings have their limitations. Look, human beings are bound to error. They are bound to err. You know, make mistakes and take wrong step, wrong decision. Aaron was the first high priest in the Old Testament. And while he was the high priest, Moses trusted him with the people, and he went up on Mount Sinai because God called him to come up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. While Moses was up there, Aaron was disturbed by the people. They were telling him, where is Moses? Where is the prophet Moses? He hasn't come. After 40 days, he hasn't come. Oh, we need another God. We need another God to lead us. And so they put pressure on Aaron, and they made a golden calf. They carved an image. Aaron had to make them to worship another God. And trouble started, and many of them died in the wilderness. The human limitation. There were other high priests that came in after that, but in the Old Testament, the high priest was very far away from the people. You can't touch him. You can't reach him. The protocol of getting to an high priest was so much. And the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies to make sacrifices. Every year he has to go into the Holy of Holies. Sometimes the high priest doesn't come back alive. He's smitten by God because of infirmity, because of, you know, the probably being measured up to standard. Because in the Old Testament, God was very harsh. In the New Testament, Jesus has brought us grace. So grace, we got grace and truth in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, it was more of law. And God was very harsh in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus has brought us grace. Unmerited grace, of course. And so the Old Testament high priest had all the professions, the human error, human failure. That was why Jesus himself had to come to be the high priest in the New Testament. In the New Testament, we have a perfect high priest. Jesus is our high priest who came before God on behalf of the people, shed his blood for the remission of our sins, propitiation. The intermediary, he came to reconcile us back to God. And today he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you and I to be saved. And the passage we just read says that Jesus is the high priest in the New Testament that we can touch with the feeling of our infirmity. Jesus is touchable, is reachable, is accessible. Jesus is available. He's everywhere. See, God is the spirit. They that worship him must worship his spirit and in truth. He's omnipresent, he's omnipotent. Compared with the Old Testament high priest, which had all the human failures and frustrations. So in the New Testament right now, we have a high priest that we can touch. See the woman with the issue of blood in Luke's Gospel chapter 8, verse 43 to 48, St. Luke. The woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says, he pressed to the crowd. And she was able to touch the hem of his garment and receive her healing. See? That is the type of high priest we have in the New Testament. The high priest that you can reach, you can touch. If at one time the Pharisees and Sadducees, they hated Jesus Christ because he was eating and drinking with sinners. Jesus came to the point where, in order to show God's love to humanity, he came down to the level of human beings. He was eating and dining with the sinners. John the Baptist was the opposite of what Jesus was doing. John the Baptist did not talk with people. John the Baptist did not eat with people. John the Baptist was far away. John the Baptist would only come and prophesy the word of God to them. And they complain of John the Baptist. You see, John the Baptist, we can't access him. We can't reach him. And then Jesus Christ came and he was eating with even the sinners and the publicans. And then they are complaining, Jesus, why do you have to come down to those people? You see, human beings are always complaining. You can't please people. See, you can't please people. If you want to please people, you will not please God at all. Because God's measures are not your measures. God's ways are not your ways. Human beings, they always complain of people. They always complain. Even when you do the right thing, they complain of you. Even when you do evil, they complain. He's always complaining. John the Baptist is no good. People can't talk to him. Then Jesus came and he was talking with everybody and eating with everybody. They say, no, Jesus is not good. Jesus is eating with sinners and, he mixed up with the people. See, you can't please people. But the truth is that Jesus was demonstrating the love of God. God has come down to your level and you can feel him. You can talk with him. You can relate with him. See how he talked with people. See the centurion in Matthew chapter 8, the woman at the well of Jacob, and then the leper. You know, Jesus cleansed the lepers. In St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 12 to 14, Jesus cleansed the lepers. A leper came to Jesus Christ and bowed down and said, Lord, heal me. And Jesus reached out and touched the leper, and the leper was healed. That's Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 12 to 14. Lepers, you are not supposed to touch lepers. You are not supposed to do anything with lepers. Lepers were separated from the people. They have special uniforms. They are separated. You don't have anything to do with lepers. But Jesus touched the leper, and the leper was healed. He is trying to tell you that God loves everybody. God loves you even if you are a leper, even if you are sick, even if you are poor. Even if you are unwanted, God still loves you. See, that's the scripture. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. We are not holy people when Christ died for us. See, the scripture says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were yet sinners. It's not that we are holy and then Jesus Christ has to come and die for us and say his blood for us. No. We were yet sinners when Christ died for the ungodly. So God even loves the ungodly, he loves the sinners, but he doesn't love their sin, but he loves them to be saved. So who is complaining? Is the religious people of the day. Holier than thou attitude. Jesus came to demonstrate to you that God is touchable. You can touch God. You can hold God. You can meet God. You can eat with, you can fellowship with God. That's what Jesus came to demonstrate. You see it in Mary and Martha. He goes to their house and ate and drank with them, fellowshipping with them. know? And then I was looking at Zacchaeus, St. Luke Gospel chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Zacchaeus was a very short man, tax collector. He heard that Jesus was coming, so he climbed on top of the sycamore tree. And while he was on top of the sycamore tree, Jesus was passing. Zacchaeus, Jesus looked at Zacchaeus, said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. And Jesus went to the house of Zacchaeus, a tax collector. And as I was reading about Zacchaeus today, I found out that Zacchaeus was hated by the people. He was a tax collector, was like a fraudulent man, like a trickster, like a fraudulent, you know, cheating people and taking their money unjustly. In fact, he said it himself. Zacchaeus was confessing to Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, I need to repent. I need to make restitution. I have stolen all this money from these people, and I need to get back with them, with God. You know, he made restitution. So even Jesus came to Zacchaeus and fellowship with him. He didn't run away from Zacchaeus. He came to Zacchaeus. What is he trying to tell us? You know, he's trying to tell you that God loves the sinner. I see a lot of people, they have the holier than thou attitude. I'm holier than you, so go away. I'm holier, I'm more righteous than you, I don't need you. See, that's not the attitude of God. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God wants you to come unto him. Why would God avoid you? God wouldn't avoid you. Jesus came to the sinner, Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus casted out seven demons, Luke chapter 8, verse 2. St. Luke Gospel chapter 8, verse 2. He talked about Mary Magdalene, out of whom seven demons were casted out. Jesus reached out to all these people, and they followed him because he was demonstrating the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but to have everlasting life. Jesus came to demonstrate love to everyone. Whereas in the Old Testament, the high priest, you won't see the high priest. The good thing about the high priest in the Old Testament, you know, the high priest will only appear in the temple and then go into the Holy of Holies, cleanse himself, you know, make sacrifices, and then go into the Holy of Holies and perform sacrifices on behalf of the people. The high priest in the Old Testament have nothing to do with you. It's not going to talk to you. I don't need the Old Testament high priest. I need the New Testament high priest. The high priest is in the Old Testament. You can never see him. The high priest in the New Testament is the one you can see. Is the one you can talk to. The high priest in the New Testament is the one you can touch with the feelings of your infirmity. That is the high priest that you need. It's like when you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the sea waters. He restored my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. See, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's Psalm 23, verses 1 to the end. So that is the New Testament chief shepherd, also called the high priest in the New Testament. He is our chief shepherd. He is the one leading us and guiding us and directing us. He is the path. He is the one pastoring us. He is the Lord and bishop of our souls. He is the one we can touch with the feeling of our infirmities. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. You can touch him with the feeling of your infirmity. You can touch him with your pain, like the woman with the issue of blood. She touched the hem of his garment and was made whole. See, that's the high priest in the New Testament. Blind Bartimaeus. Yes. Blind Bartimaeus, Mark Gospel said, Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52, we see the blind Bartimaeus standing by the roadside begging. He was a blind man, rejected and dejected, poor and wretched, was calling out to Jesus for help. And Jesus, without multitude, following him. Multitude following Jesus Christ around. And blind Bartimaeus was calling for help. And Jesus turned around and spoke with blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus reached out with his hand and healed his eye, and Bartimaeus began to see. See? The high priest that can touch you. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, what joy that filled my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. Jesus touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, what joy that filled my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me. I made me whole. Oh, yes, Jesus has touched me many times. He touched me with his healing power. He touched my life with his blood. My life changed. He touched my life with his blood. And my life became a new life. Jehovah touched my life with his blood. My life changed. He touched my life with his power, my life changed. Jesus touched my life with his blood, and my life became a new life. Jehovah touched your life with his power, your life changed. Yes, Jesus has touched me many times. The first time Jesus touched me was 1977 when I was sick and dying in the hospital. Nobody could cure me until Jesus reached out to me and touched me with his healing power. I was made whole. Since then, I've been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I believe in him, and I trust him. I give my life to him, and I worship him every day. Yes, yeah, Jesus can touch you even right now. You can touch him with the feelings of your infirmity. He is the New Testament high priest that you can touch with the feeling of your infirmity. You can touch him with the pains in your life and the troubles that you are going through. You can touch him. He can touch you. You can fellowship with him. You can talk with him. He can talk with you. He can reach out. Reach out and touch the Lord. I'll see goodbye. You refine it, not so beauty. So yeah, you'll not cry. He's passing by this moment. Your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord. I'll see goodbye. Reach out and touch the Lord. I'll see goodbye. You will find it's not abusing. So yeah, you'll cry. It's passing by this moment. You need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord. I see goodbye. You can even touch him right now. Oh, yes. Look at it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Say we have a high priest that we can touch with the feeling of our infirmity. We can touch him with those pains in our lives. We can touch him with our problems and our troubles and fears and anxiety. We have a high priest in the New Testament that we can touch with the feeling of our infirmity. Jesus is available. Jesus is accessible. Jesus is here right now. Jesus is here right now. He's here to meet our needs and to set the captive free. Oh, Jesus, you are here right now. Jesus is here right now. Jesus is here right now. He's here to meet my needs. And to set the captive free. Oh, Jesus is here right now. Jesus, you are here right now. Jesus, you are here right now. You are here to meet our needs and to set the captive free. Oh, Jesus. He's here right now. Oh, yes. The King of Kings and the Lord of Love, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, he's touching you right now with his miracle-working power. Yes, you can touch him with the feelings of your insanity. He's available. He's here. He's there with you. He's accessible. You can touch the hem of his garment. And be made every withhold in the name of Jesus. Yes, you can pour your heart to him. You can fellowship with him. You can talk to him. He's ever ready for you. Ever willing to help. See, God is our refuge and strength. His present help in the time of trouble. Psalm 43 verse 1. See, God is our refuge and strength. His present help in the time of trouble. He is hurt in the time of trouble. Even right now, you can touch him with the feelings of our infirmity. I tell you, we have the best high priest. You know, I don't need the Old Testament high priest. I don't need the Old Testament. I need the New Testament high priest, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know, ministering to me. Very much available for me, it's accessible. I can touch him, I can talk with him, I can reach out to him, I can connect with him, I can link up with him all. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the sea water, he restoreth my soul. Oh yes, we have a high priest in the New Testament. Yes, we are done with the Old Testament high priest. He's not a high priest. You cannot see, you cannot touch, you cannot relate to them, you can't connect to them. We are in the New Testament. We have a better covenant. The other day, they were telling me a story how they went to see a man of God, and the process of seeing the man of God, they said that if you want to see the man of God, you have to attend the church about 3 or 4 times. You attend the church about 3 to 4 times, and then they will list you as a member, and then you belong to a department of the church. Then, before they will allow you to go and see the man of God. I said, supposing the person is in need. This is protocol, human protocol. human beings are filled with errors. They are filled with, you know, failures and frustrations. Human beings, see, if they are imperfect, they are very, very imperfect. Human beings are very, very imperfect. There's no perfection in there. Nothing. See? People want to see a man of God, want to see a man of God to pray with them or counsel with them or minister to them. The process, they started describing the process, the procedure of seeing the man of God. And the process includes that you must attend the church about 4 times. Maybe 4 Sundays. After that, by this time, they have enlisted you as a member, and then by this time, you are either a choir or an usher. They tie you down to the church. After they tie you down to the church, then they will now say, they will now take you to go and see man of God. Is that how Jesus Christ operated? Jesus Christ was not like that. Jesus Christ was available in the corners of the street. Blind Bartimaeus was able to touch Jesus Christ. The woman with the issue of blood was able to reach Jesus Christ. The Jacob's well, the leper, homeless people, tax collectors like Zacchaeus. You know, people like Zacchaeus. In fact, I was reading about Zacchaeus today. The society, the community hated Zacchaeus. They don't want to see him. They look at him as a fraudulent man, a con man. He was cheating people because he was collecting taxes from. So he was taking undue advantage of the people. But the society didn't want to see anybody like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was not their friend at all. But Jesus went there. And three ministers to Zacchaeus. See? So Jesus even loved the sinner. And then he saw Zacchaeus repented. He repented, and then he decided to even make restitution. That tells you he made sure of God. In Britain, in London, there is a saying, they said, familiarity brings contempt. Yes, that's the British. It's a British saying. See, familiarity brings contempt. It says, but the love is there. Familiarity brings contempt. See, but the love is there. So familiarity is equated with love. Oh yes. God, Jesus came to show love. Jesus came to show love by being available to everybody, by being accessible, by, you know, making himself available. You can reach him, you can touch him, you can talk to him, you can do anything with Jesus Christ. You can eat with him, you can drink with him. That is the nature of God. Jesus came to demonstrate the nature of God, the loving and caring nature of the Almighty God. He came to demonstrate it to us. So he started by making himself available. This is who God is. This is how he is. This is what he is. He's so close to you. He's so available. He's there with you. See, that is our high priest. That is our high priest. See, human protocols, they have put human protocols everywhere. they have put so much protocol. Hey, God have mercy. So many protocols. And I think some people will not even think of going to see a man of God. Because when you think of the protocol, you might as well not bother. You know, the protocols. And these protocols are man-made. Mafia. Spiritual mafia. Do this so that I can do this. See? Jesus Christ was never like that. See? Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 14 to 16. See? We have an high priest through whom we can even enter the Holy of Holies. So in the New Testament, every believer is a priest. Even though we have a high priest, because verse 15 says, now we can enter into the Holy of Holies. We don't need the high priest to enter the Holy of Holies for us, because on Friday, Good Friday, when Jesus died, between 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock, the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies was torn from up to bottom, showing that the gates of righteousness is open for us to go in and find help and grace. So in the New Testament, you can even go into the Holy of Holies, the presence of God, because Jesus has already paved the way. So there is no more protocol. You know, there are no more protocol. And even if you want to talk to Jesus or relate with Jesus, you can still connect with him anytime, anywhere, any place, anyhow, anyhow you want to, you can still connect with him. See? Jesus is not like that man of God, like that woman of God. That evangelist, that minister, that bishop, that apostle, that archbishop, that folk, these are human beings. They are prone to error. They are prone to failures and frustrations. They are limited. They are not like Jesus Christ. You know, you want to go and see a man of God. You now describe the process. The process of going to see a man of God. In fact, almost everybody will turn back. Yeah, they will turn back. Because why not just call Jesus Christ? See? That's why we should all connect with Jesus, connect with God, connect with the Almighty God. They are looking for imperfect human beings. Human beings that have their own errors and failures and frustrations. They have their own weaknesses. They are imperfect. That was why Jesus Christ had to come. And it is the reason the mediator between God and man is not another human being. The propitiator, the mediator, the one who came to reconcile us back to God is not another man like us. It was Jesus Christ who came with a perfect blood and paved the way of righteousness for us to go into the Holy of Holies and find help. So you don't need to wait for the high priest. And that was what Jesus Christ was describing when he went to the pool of Bethesda. you know, came to the pool of Bethesda, and there was a man sitting there who was lame. People, he could not walk, was waiting for the angel to come from heaven and trouble the water. When the angel troubled the water, then whosoever jumped in first was he. So every year this man is waiting for the angel to come down and trouble the water so that he can jump in. But because he was lame and crippled, before he could jump into the pool and receive his healing, someone else, faster than him, has already jumped into the pool and received the healing for that year. Another year will come again, and this same man is sitting at the pool of Bethesda, waiting for the angel to come from heaven and trouble the waters. And when the angel troubled the waters, because he was lame and crippled, before he could get up and try to jump into the water to receive his healing, another person faster than him has run in there and taken the opportunity once again. And he continued, that circle continued for 38 years. The man was at the pool of Bethesda waiting for the angel to come and trouble the water. Then Jesus came. When Jesus came, Jesus started talking with him and trying to find out what it means. Yeah? Of all he heard about Jesus, instead of saying, "Lord Jesus, I want to be healed. I want to be all right. Jesus, heal me. Help me, Lord." He now started narrating the story of his life, how he has been here for 38 years, and in time, somebody had jumped into the water, and he could not get his healing. That's not what Jesus wanted to say. What Jesus wanted to say is, "Lord, I want to be healed. Lord Jesus, help me." That is what Jesus wanted you to say. Now you went about and said different things before you came to say what you are supposed to have said. See, a lot of people are like that. They go off the pump. See, in Benin, I live in Benin City, I don't stay for about 3 to 4 years in Benin City. And those people, they have a parable. They say, when you come before the king, say exactly what you want. Don't waste time, because the king has so many people to attend to, so just be very specific. And don't waste time about it. You can't stand before the king and be scratching your head thinking about what you wanted to say. Don't do that. You are now in front of the King of Kings. Open your mouth and say it like blind Bartimaeus. "Lord, I want to be healed." You know, that's what it should be. So we have a high priest that we can talk. So Jesus told him, "Say, gentlemen, you know what? Don't bother about the angel coming down to trouble the waters no more. I'm already here." Jesus said, "You know, gentlemen, I'm already here. I'm the healer, I'm the redeemer, the savior, the deliverer. You don't have to wait for the angel to come and trouble the waters before you get your healing." Jesus even made it simple. Let me tell you this. God has made things very simple in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you keep ram, keep gold, keep these, you know, sacrifices and so on, and the procedures and protocols in the Old Testament. We don't need them. Jesus has come to remove those things. See, why did he heal people on the Sabbath day? Now, does it still matter whether Jesus healed on the Sabbath day or not? This religion. Religion has tied people down. Religion People are fully unloaded with religion and religion. Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. Why are you still waiting for the water to be troubled before you get healed? Why are you still waiting for the angel to come from heaven and trouble the water? Some people, if they don't light candle, they can't pray. Some people, if they don't see olive oil here, they will not pray. I say no. There was one time we went to pray for somebody and they said, hey, bring the olive oil here, let us pray for this person. So they started looking for olive oil. They started looking for olive oil. Olive oil was not around. So somebody brought out money and they started driving to where they would get the olive oil. I don't know whether a pharmacy store or something. They had to drive back into the city to go and get olive oil before they can pray. Oh, ask anything in the name of Jesus. He will do it for you. You are not waiting for only 4 years before you pray. Suppose the person dies. Religion. Religion. You can call the name of Jesus. In my name, shall you cast out devils, shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Why not pray? He said, no. You must go and bring only 4 years. They now went and started driving to the city to go and buy olive oil before they would come and pray. Supposing the person died before you came back. You see, religion has held people down to all kinds of rituals and all kinds of human sacrifices and all kinds of things people do, funny things. There was one time we went to pray for some family somewhere, and the person was bold enough to tell us, he said, hey, pastor, take holy water and sprinkle. You got to sprinkle holy water all over this house so that the devil will not come here. So we have to get holy water and sprinkle all over the house so that devil will not come here. So if devil is to come, it is this holy water that has been sprinkled on the church has been sprinkled. It is religion. Religion has tied people's hands up. That's why Jesus Christ didn't have time for religion. No. You just push it aside and start talking the word of God, talking salvation and, you know, redemption, you know. Rise up! Take up your bed and walk! Why are you waiting for the water to be troubled? You're waiting for the angel to come from heaven and trouble the water before you will be healed? Jesus Christ is already here with you. Rise up, take up your bed, and walk. And that was it. No more. No more. The 38 years, everything wiped away. Just by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That took care of all these years of suffering. You see, God has made everything very, very simple for us. But we want to go the other route. You see, that prophet is doing work for me. I've had those type of things before. You see, one prophet, he's doing work for me. So I said, one prophet is doing work for you. Which work? What of the work Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, where he suffered and died for you, the chastisement of our peace was upon him by his stripes, Isaiah 53. You say, what problem is doing work for you? Oh, no problem. Anybody can pray for you, whether prophet or no prophet. But Jesus did the work. Look at Isaiah 53. I'm reading from verse 3, Isaiah 53. He said, Jesus was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And we hid our faces from him. He was despised and was esteemed not. Look at verse 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Look at verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Jesus has done all this work on the cross of Calvary, carried away all our sins and sickness. He became a cause for us. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. We became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All this Jesus did, and still yet, you say one prophet is doing work for you. I don't believe that a prophet can pray for you, a pastor, evangelist, preacher, anybody, himself, whatever, can pray for you or teach you the word of God or something. There's no problem with that. But you are telling me that a prophet is doing work for you. Which work again? Okay, we are saved by grace through faith, not by works. Lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. By grace are we saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. What work again are you doing? The prophet is coming to do work. What is the work? You mean religion? Religion has kept people in bondage. Religion. Prophet is coming to do work. To do work. The work Jesus finished on the cross, that's not enough. You want somebody to come and sprinkle holy water on your house, pour holy oil around your house, and tie red candle, green candle, and all these things. That is what you call work. God have mercy. What are the words Jesus Christ is doing for you every day? He said, call upon me in the days of trouble. I will deliver you, said the Lord. The other day I was told a man who said he's working for people. And the work is the work of prayer and Bible teaching. And he goes from home to home. In most cases, he has to stay in their home, live with them, stay with them, eat with them, drink with them, do everything with them, and stay in their home, just like native doctors do, and native doctors and witch doctors do most of those things. Then they tell me that that is how that man will solve their problem. I said, which problem did he solve? He said, by going to stay in the homes of these people who have problems, that's when he'll be able to fast and pray for them. I said, no problem. Anybody can fast and pray for anybody, but must you go and live in those houses? And live in those houses and, try to be... I don't understand. It doesn't sound normal because when people go to other people's houses like that, go and stay and live with them, and you want to call it, you are doing work for them. Several times, a lot of other things come out of it. Yes, a lot of things, other things begin to come out of that type of thing. You see, what about the name of Jesus? What about the blood of Jesus? At the name of Jesus, every sickness, every disease, every problem must die. We don't think about that. We are thinking about what a human being will do. What will a human being do now? What will he do? Can he save people? Can he heal them? Can he deliver them? Except the Lord be the house, the laborer labor was in vain. How can you take the place of Jesus Christ and do what Jesus Christ is supposed to be doing? Jesus Christ is our Savior, is our healer, is our deliverer. Jesus Christ is our prophet. Jesus Christ is our evangelist. Jesus Christ is our pastor, is the shepherd, is the high priest. You now want to take his place? You can't even take his place. No, you can't take his place. So all these hijacking and all these protocols. Bottlenecks. We don't need it. God has made it very simple. They call upon me in the days of trouble and I will deliver you. Oh yes, at the name of Jesus, at the mention of the name of Jesus, every problem must be solved. We better hook up with the Almighty God. We better hook up with Jesus. We better hook up with our Redeemer Savior, our soon coming King, coming to rapture the church. The trumpet of the Lord has sounded. We who are alive shall be caught up with him. The dead in Christ shall arise first, and then we shall be caught up. That's our soon coming King. We leave all this one, and you are looking for one man to come and do work for you. I don't know what work they are doing for you. But I was told that some people, they go and meet concussions, meet all kind of things, substances, and give to people to eat or drink, and then the condition became worse. See? All those things, we don't have to. We don't have to. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that's the person we should be looking unto. How come you are depending on people, depending on human beings that have their failures? You know, it is human to err. Have you not heard of that? Say, it is human to err. Human beings are filled with error, mistakes and failure and disappointment, disgrace. Human beings. Moses went on top of Mount Sinai before he came back, and it was God who asked him to come to Mount Sinai. He went on top for 40 days and 40 nights. Before he came back, Aaron had told everybody to go and worship Baal. Watching the golden calf. You see, that tells you how human failures. See, the high priest of the Old Testament, he have already turned the people against God. Turned them to go and worship that golden calf. Worship the Jew and worship Isaac. Is that the first thing you want to put your life in your hands? Hey! I got good news for you. We have a better covenant. In the New Testament, we have a new covenant. In the New Testament, we have a high priest. In the New Testament, we have a high priest that we can touch with the feelings of our infirmity. Oh, yes, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is your high priest. You can feel him, you can touch him, you can talk to him, you can relate with him, you can connect with him, you can call upon him in the days of trouble. And he will deliver thee. Hey, this is my joy. And this is your joy that we have with high priest. That we link up with. We hook up with him. And from him all blessings flow. Please, throw away every other high priest. You don't need them. You don't need any other high priest. The high priest that we have. Look at it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 15 and 16, he said, the high priest that we have in the New Testament, today, the high priest that we have is the one that we can touch with the feelings of our insanity. We can touch him with our problems. That is our high priest. You don't need any other high priest. Please, throw them away from your life. Throw them away. You don't need them. The Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Make it easy to lie down in green pasture. Yes. That is our shepherd. Thank you, Lord. We receive you. Lord Jesus, you are the chief shepherd. Lord G, you are our high priest, O God. We connect with you. We hook up with you. We look unto you, the author and finisher of our faith. We rely on you, Lord. We call upon you in the days of trouble. And you deliver all, and we glorify you. Thank you, Lord, because you are there for us day and night. You are there every time, every year. I need thee every hour, O precious Lord. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Yes, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We receive your word today. Make us doers of your word, and not just hearers alone. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen and amen. Please forward this message to everyone you know. Email it, tweet it, share it, let it go viral, and bless the whole world in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for joining us in this service. The Lord reward you abundantly and bless you all abundantly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Bye for now. Tomorrow we have another section by 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join us and let God bless you once again. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God is bigger than every mountain. You cannot see.